Well, good morning and welcome to Prairie Village Church of Christ. We are so glad you're here with us today. God has just blessed us with a beautiful day. Spring has finally sprung. The birds are singing. The trees are budding and blooming. Unfortunately, the grass is growing. In my yard, that would be the weeds, more appropriately. Rick was lamenting earlier about how he's already had to cut his grass three times. So we got to take the bad with the good. But it's mostly good. And I can't help but find a correlation between what goes on with nature and in the spiritual realm this type of year, how that's physical, that natural revival that's going on outside, how it can parallel the spiritual revival that we have in Christ Jesus, how He can bring us to life again. Even if we find ourselves in the deep, dark, cold of winter, spiritually speaking, in Christ Jesus, we can bloom to life again, and life and hope springs eternal in Him. So glad you're here with us today to talk about these things, to celebrate these things, to learn God's will for you. I want you to open your Bibles, if you have one with you, Colossians chapter 3. Read verses 18 through 25 with us. If you didn't bring one, there should be one in the pew right in front of you. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. We read there, "Wives, be subject to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service," or your version of the Bible may say eye service, "as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality." Now, I'll just have to start by saying, if there are two touchier subjects that a preacher is called upon to make mention of, I just can't imagine what those subjects might be. But as what we read is the part of the whole counsel of God, it's a part of the Bible, we can't avoid it. We shouldn't avoid it. Anything written there, we need to cover. We need to talk about. And what we're talking about this morning, initially, briefly, is the subjection of wives and the obedience of slaves. Ouch. That's all I can say about that. Suddenly that root canal just doesn't seem too bad of an idea to me. Maybe at least the doctor will knock me out. He'll put me under and I won't have to know what's going on. Feel free to use that hammer and put me out right now if you don't mind. But because of these two things, these two issues alone, many people discard the Bible. They look at it as unreliable. They look at it as outdated, even barbaric, that God would be talking about the subjection of women and the obedience of slaves. But here it is. It's in the Bible. It's part of the living, active, powerful word of truth. And it needs to be addressed. First of all, just briefly about this idea of the subjection of the wives to their husbands. I just want to say this is not a general subjugation of women here. This is not holding women down. Women are not lesser than men. They are not inferior to men. This is, as in all institutions, a way of life. It's a reality. Whether it be companies, whether it be schools, churches, families, what have you, leaders are required. They are needed for these institutions to function properly. If there are leaders, guess what there have to be as well? There have to be subordinates, people under the leadership of the leaders, people willing and able to follow the lead of those in the position of headship. And this is actually a military term, and it means literally to arrange under, this idea of subjection. So what we learn here is that in God's arrangement for the family, He has placed women under the headship or the leadership of the husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24 elaborates just a little bit more on this relationship. And Ephesians is really very similar in a lot of ways to Paul's letter to the Colossians. But we read there in verse 22, starting in chapter 5, verse 22, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." Talking about headship, we're talking about leadership here. As Christ is the head over the church, the husband is the head over the family. God has given that responsibility, that privilege to the husband in a marriage. Listen, The wife is not the husband's property. So if you're thinking that way, don't think that way. She is not inferior to him in any way. She's not his punching bag. She's not his slave. She is actually a part of himself. And how most of us husbands refer to our wives as our better half, the better part. So they need to be treated accordingly. But speaking of slaves, the other issue here that's a touchy topic, the idea of slavery here being discussed by Paul, I want to just say right up front, the Bible in no way endorses slavery. Slavery is wrong. There's no two ways about it. But this letter was written in an era where slavery was prevalent. According to some estimations, one-third to one-half of the population of the Roman Empire was comprised of slaves. It was just a reality. It was just a way of life. One thing God did not do with His Word, with His plan for mankind, is just pull the plug on the embedded societal structures that were in place. He wouldn't do that. If He were to do that, that would cause society, civilization, to just collapse, just implode. And that would cause more trouble than good. But what God did with His Word, the intention of God's Word, is to change hearts. The main function of the Bible is not to change society, but people, individuals. Now look, it can change societies. It will do that. It has done that. We are living proof of that in the United States of America, I believe. But the main aim of God's Word, the main aim He has with His Word, is to change the heart of an individual, to change the soul. You change enough individuals, you change enough souls, then you can change societies. And that's why slavery is not the issue now that it used to be years ago in this civilized world that we live in today. The Bible has influenced societies. It has greatly influenced Western society. Unfortunately, I must admit, slavery still exists on some levels and in some places, but it's wrong, wrong, wrong. The Bible does not endorse it, but it's not prevalent among us. And I thank God for that. But we're not here today to talk about the submission of wives to their husbands or slavery. What we're here to talk about this morning is the individual, the responsibilities of the individual person, that individual soul, what God requires of His people on a personal level. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Each and every one of us are held accountable to these things that we talked about this morning. And I guess He knew that these two subjects, these two topics, were going to be touchy because He included this caveat in verse 23 of chapter 3 of the book of, or letter to the Colossians. He said, whatever you do, whatever it is, do it with all of your heart, or do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Whatever we do in life, in whatever capacity we are called on to serve, remember who your true boss is. That's what He's telling us here. Remember who your true master is. Remember who your judge is. It is the Lord. Now you think about this time, this place. The typical Colossian home consisted of a father, a mother, children, and servants. So what is God telling the Colossians here with this letter? He's telling them quite simply, look, if you're a wife, serve your husband to the best of your ability because ultimately you're serving the Lord. If you're a husband, you need to serve her well. You need to treat her kindly. You need to be the best husband you can be because ultimately you're serving the Lord. He's telling you if you're a slave, serve your master with effort and sincerity and honesty because ultimately you're serving your master in heaven. You can even be a slave owner and be a faithful Christian. Did you know that? That absolutely blows my mind. I just don't see how that's possible. But it is if you do it the right way. If you understand that both slave and master belong to the Lord, you can pull that off if your heart's in the right place and if you treat people the right way. Now, praise God, in our society, slavery is just outdated. And you might think, well, this doesn't apply to me then. We'll just throw this chapter of the Bible away or these two verses of the Bible away because they're just not relevant to me. But not so fast if you're thinking that way because there's still relevant application in these verses for us. Now you think about the two areas of life that those topics deal with in general. You think about who Paul is talking to here. People who have family responsibilities and people who have work responsibilities. Anybody here a member of a family? Well, this applies to you. Anybody here have a job? Anybody here ever had a job before? I know a lot of us are retired. We still have jobs, right? We still do things, keep us active. This applies to us. And he went as far as to say, whatever you do, whatever position you hold, whatever position you find yourself in, whatever duty you are called on to perform, do it to the best of your ability. Whatever you do, do heartily. Do it with all your heart. Do it wholeheartedly. Do it righteously. Do it with dedication and purpose. Because we have to understand, ultimately, we're always serving Jesus. And we're going to answer to Him in the end. Are you an engineer? Just be the best engineer you possibly can be. Do the right thing by your bosses and by any who are under you. Are you a doctor? Apply your trade and your skill just as effectively and efficiently as you can. Are you a nurse? The same thing. A pharmacist? Are you a janitor? You clean those floors to the best of your ability. A carpet layer? The same is true. I don't care if you work at a fast food restaurant or if you are a servant in some form. If you're a waitress or a waiter, whatever the case may be, just do it to the best of your ability because you're ultimately serving God. Now, you might not even like your job. Anybody ever been in a job like that? You just hate the thoughts of getting up in the morning and going into that place. You hate going in there every day. You hate going in there any day. You may really need to think about a job move, a different direction in your employment, a different career path. But listen, as long as you are working there at that place, guess what you need to do? You need to perform your duty to the best of your ability. You know why? Because you're always on the clock with your boss in heaven. You never get a chance for a break. You're always working for God. You're not ready to quit on Him, are you? I hope you're never ready to do that. You might not like your boss very much. You may think he's a real jerk. Has anybody ever had a boss that they really just didn't care too much about? I have. I've worked for some real doozies in my life. You know, I never really had a problem with the guys who were real tough-nosed as long as they were up front with me and honest with me. It was those bosses that come from behind and stuff the knife in your back. Those were the ones I really had a problem with. But listen, it doesn't matter. Either way it goes, he's still my superior. Your boss is still your superior. You're still under him or her. And more importantly, you're always working for the big boss in heaven. Always. And listen, you never have the right to get even. Not if you belong to the Lord. You never have the right to take vengeance into your own hands. Even if he frustrates you to no end, even if your boss abuses you on the job, that doesn't justify poor effort, shoddy workmanship, sabotaging equipment in the workplace. Because God is our ultimate superior. And we're always going to have to answer to him. It is never justifiable to do the wrong thing, even if people are treating us poorly. And we also have to factor in the fact that we are setting examples for other people with the work that we do. So we have to make sure we're doing our job to the best of our ability. And verse 22 says, not with external service. And we said how that meant not with eye service. In other words, do your best and not just when the boss is looking. You ever know somebody like that? You ever worked around somebody like that? They were the hardest worker on the planet when the boss was in the room, when he was watching. But that boss walked out, and what did they do? They turned into a totally different person. They're sitting down. They're watching TV, soap operas, whatever, reading the paper. Well, when the cat's away, what do they say? The mice will play. But look, not for a Christian. Not if you belong to Jesus Christ. Because we have to understand that our boss is always looking. He sees everything we do. He's watching everything, and we're ultimately working for him. Psalm 33, verses 13 through 15 says, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all. He who understands all their works. He's watching. He sees you. He understands you better than you understand yourself. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're thinking. We have to understand that we're working for him all the time. He is the God that sees, it says in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13. Hagar said that when she was running away from the trouble at home in Abraham's household. And she thought she was going to die, but God took care of her. And she said, you're a God who sees. He sees all. Now, that's a good thing. He knows when we're in trouble and when we have need. But that can be a bad thing if we're not behaving right, if we're not working right, if we're not living our lives right. Job 28 and verse 24 says, "For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens." Now this idea of doing work with all our heart, that specifically is addressing the servant-master relationship, the boss-worker relationship. And you might think, well, this really is about work and it doesn't have anything to do with the family, even though it's grouped there together with our family responsibilities. I want you to think about that a little closer and a little in a different direction maybe. Do you think that being a good husband or a good wife is not just a bunch of hard work? Because if you think that way, you're not going to make a good husband or a good wife. It's some of the hardest work you'll ever do in your life. Did you know that? Being a mother, being a father, that's some of the hardest work you'll ever do in your life. It's some of the most fulfilling work you'll ever do, but it's difficult. You think about it. Being a good wife is tough, at least by God's standards, if you're trying to do that according to His Word. It's not always easy to submit to someone else's authority, especially when it's that guy you wake up to every morning with his hair all messed up and his dragon breath. That guy who wakes you up every night snoring, and that guy you know all his eccentricities and his weaknesses, and you know all his quirks. It's not always easy to submit to a guy like that. Mark Twain said, "Familiarity breeds contempt," and that's true. You spend an overabundant amount of time with someone, you learn to find all of their flaws and their weaknesses and their shortcomings. But God wants husbands and wives to have a special relationship with one another just the same. And He wants wives to submit to the leadership of their husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 has this to say about that. And this applies even if the husband is not a godly sort of person. Even if the husband is not a Christian. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2 says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior." That's not always going to be easy, is it? If your husband's not acting the way he should, he's being a real jerk like that boss we talked about earlier, it's still incumbent upon the wives to live a chaste and moral and upright life to try to win him over to the Lord. Not always easy. Being a good husband is tough, at least by God's standards. If you've got a good grasp on this headship thing, you're going to understand it can be difficult. Read with me what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn your Bibles there. This is what he has to say about the husband's relationship with the wife in respect to Christ's relationship to the church. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." What kind of love are we talking about here? That's sacrificial love. The kind of love that gives up your own will, your own desires for her. You would even be required to give up your own life if necessary for your wife. You should think that much of her. Ephesians 5:28. Three verses away says, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself." How many people do you think more of than yourself? How many people do you love more than yourself? That's a tough one. We really like to take care of ourselves, but you need to put your wife even above yourself. At least on equal footing here, it says. But we learn in other places in the Bible that we are to think of others even better than ourselves. That is especially true with our wives. Listen, being a husband, being a leader, being in a position of headship is not at all about ordering your wife around, telling her what to do, nothing like that. It's all about loving her so much that you're willing to make the tough decisions in the family when that's called upon for you to do. Doing the things you know that are in her best interest. And if children are involved, doing the things that are in their best interest as well. And that's just not always easy. It's not easy to be a good mom and a good dad. You got to discipline your children. But remember, we read there in verse 21 of Colossians chapter 3, we also have to be careful not to frustrate them, not to exasperate them. And let me ask you this, any of you who have teenagers or have ever raised them, is that even a possibility to raise a teenager without frustrating them? That seems to be just be what they are all the time, is frustrated. But it's our responsibility as parents to do the best we can at teaching our children and disciplining them without frustrating and exasperating them. Folks, that's tough. But that's the way it is when you're trying to serve the Lord God. We're supposed to do things to the best of our ability, whatever duty we are called upon to perform. Whatever you do, you need to be doing it with all of your heart, with singleness of heart, with your heart and your mind into it, like it really matters, like it is so important. No matter how small and menial the task may seem to be on the surface, whether you're being a good dad or being a good neighbor, whether it means being a boss of a Fortune 500 company or working at the drive-thru at Taco Bell, whether you're serving your country in the armed forces or whether you're just serving dinner to your family, put your heart into it like it really matters. Jesus said in Luke 16 and verse 10, he said this, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." Now, do you know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying how we do our work, how we perform our work, is really a reflection of who we are at the core, of who we are inside, of who we are in our hearts. If we don't take the little things seriously, you know what Jesus says here about us? We're not going to take the bigger things seriously. We're not going to take the bigger issues of faith with the gravity that they require. If we're thinking right, if our heart's in the right place, then we're going to come to understand that there really are no small issues, though. Small matters, it's those little things, they're usually the ones that have the greatest impact when we look at things in the right perspective. But we are to do things heartily, it says, from the heart. I want you to know that phrase in the Greek literally reads from the soul. That word is the Greek word psuche, the Greek word soul. From your inner being, like it really mattered, like your soul depends on it, is what he's saying here. And you know what? It tells me, it should bother me if I don't give my best effort when it comes to executing the duties that I'm called on to perform. It should bother me if I don't give it my best shot. And really, that's the way we should approach life in general. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do," very similar to Colossians chapter 3, "whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol," or the grave, "where you're going." But you know what is waiting there for us? In Sheol, in the grave, you know what's waiting for us there? Judgment, reward, punishment. Why is it so important to do all things from the heart, from the soul, like our soul really depends on it? Why is that so important? Because our soul really, it does depend on it. Our souls really are hanging in the balance here. Back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Read that again. "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance." Our inheritance is on the line every day. I know a lot of people in the religious world want us to believe that once you're saved, you're always saved, and it doesn't matter what you do. And I'll just say baloney. It's on the line every day. We have to live our lives the right way. We have to work at this thing we call life and at serving the Lord to the best of our ability. And when we let that lapse, we're in trouble. The next verse, verse 25, "For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality." Okay, how long you've done things right in your life, you start doing them wrong, you're going to be judged on that. He says you're going to be paid back. You're going to reap the consequences of that. And without partiality. God doesn't care who you are. If you're not doing the right thing, you're going to have to answer for that. It's going to be tough to be negligent and careless in our worldly pursuits. And I'm talking about the ones that really matter. It's going to be tough to be negligent and careless there and still be solid spiritually. Do you understand that? Those things usually go hand in hand. Quality, character, giving it your best shot. These are issues of the heart. This is more an issue of who we are in our soul and not what we do on a day-to-day basis. It has more far-reaching implications than just performing a task. This is really a reflection of who we are and what we're made of in our inner person. Whatever we do, we should do it with all our strength. We should do it to the best of our ability, and we should give it our best shot. You can go and pick up your songbooks. We're going to sing number 601 in just a moment to give you a chance to obey the gospel this morning. There's an old saying, and I think we're all aware of it, and we all know it. It says, "Whatever's worth doing is worth doing right." And I want you to know that's doubly true for someone who belongs to Jesus Christ. That just applies to us in the greatest and richest of ways. And in serving the Lord, it's so important to do it right. Psalm 119 and verse 10 says, the psalmist wrote there, "With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments." Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to start serving God that way? Are you ready to start serving Him the right way with all of your heart? Are you ready to stop wandering from His commandments, from His will for you, and to turn your life around? I gotta tell you, folks, you can start today. There is a position waiting for you right here in these one ads that I'm holding in my hand. This Bible, listen, there's a job waiting for you. The hours are long, and the pay is not that great. But I got to tell you, the retirement benefits are out of this world. Literally, we're talking about heavenly sunshine for the rest of your lives. You ready to come on board? You ready to give it your best? You ready to stop playing around with the Lord and get serious about this and to serve Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? We're ready to help you. Can we study with you? Can we pray for you? Can we baptize you into Christ? If anything we can do this morning to help you draw closer to your God, we stand ready to help you. You come up here and talk to me about those things while we're standing and singing to your encouragement.